the home team.
And here we go.
All right, the home team presented by Golden Pantry. Eat, drink, be golden. Chris Brame, Jeff Dantzler. We are together again.
It's been a long time. We were gone 3 weeks. Thanks to our young friend Ross. Did a great job sitting in for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, he said he was going to miss coming in, and I was like, hey, we've got an open door policy. Stop in whenever you want. But I think he's opting just to sit by the pool for the next couple weeks before he's got to go back to school.
Speaking of going back to school, my now wife, that's...
Yes, you have a wife, Jeff.
That just, it sounds... You know, it was funny when we were... It was... Went to the grocery store about 3 days before we got married, and I just naturally... I was talking to the checkout girl and said, like, oh, yeah, well... Well, either my lady friend or my girlfriend. I go, well, actually, she's my fiance. We're getting married in 3 days. It's just, yeah. It's kind of...
Now it's wife.
It's my wife,
in
yeah.
fact, you know, our friend Logan left you something in here.
Very nice gift.
That he made in his wood shop, and it was, you know, there's a sticky note on it. It says, to Mr. and Mrs. Dantzler.
It's a yellow sticky note, but outside of that, it's pretty great.
Other than that, Logan did good.
It's a classic bulldog. He is tremendously talented with this stuff. It's a classic McGill bulldog on there with the state of Georgia. It was nicely done.
You better keep that under wraps before he gets one of those cease and desist from the athletic department.
That's a classic right so. There. But no, it's Emily, like we got back from the honeymoon yesterday. She had to go, like with the kids in teaching Jackson County, down on Jackson County School. So please keep my wife employed. Because in the radio business, you know, it's not like we get benefits or anything. But they started school today in July. It's ridiculous. I think every school should start when we started in Statesboro, Georgia, when I was a kid, we would start the last Monday of August. And it's like, all right, you get almost all of August in. Then it's like, all right, football start. And then you kind of get that Labor Day weekend to catch your breath. And then you kind of jump into it. And I always thought that was a good thing. But, I mean, now, you know, they can't let the kids out to play. It's too hot. Goodness knows how much it costs to cool the schools down.
At least wait till the Hall of Fame game gets played,
no
which
doubt.
I think is this Thursday.
I mean, July. That's where I always say I would have refused to go in July.
For sure, I would. I would have at least.
It's
and
like
I
mom.
Reluctantly, I would have. I would. I would. If it's August 1st, I'd go. I wouldn't have been happy about it, but going back to school in July
that's
should
ridiculous.
Be that should be illegal.
Illegal. 100%.
Yeah.
So I vote for the last Monday in August. And, you know, it's crazy. I noticed this when the calendar kept moving up and up and up. And I always liked to, when I was a single man, I always liked to go down the beach for a couple days just before football. And it got down in the Golden Isles where, I mean, middle, late August was just like going down there in March. It's pretty much locals only.
Yeah. Which I guess is how it probably is now. I mean, all the Northerners.
They don't go back to around Labor Day.
They've yes. always stuck with that plan.
Yes.
But no. They just it's creep. It's like playoffs.
It
you know,
is.
Playoffs
it's a creep.
And going back to school just creeps. And
so,
it was it just has gotten earlier and earlier, and here we are. Eventually there'll be like no summer. It'll be that year-round school they
ridiculous.
Always talked about.
Well, and the thing too that they're given, I know, and at least in this district, they get a week off in October and a week off in February. I'm like, yeah, that's and I know, I guess every teacher's not this, but I'd rather have those extra weeks in the summer. Because the other thing, too.
Than a random week in October.
I mean, imagine if, Chris, imagine if you're a parent. So all of a sudden, you know, you're in the groove working October, all of a sudden, yet your kid's off for a week.
Yeah, I know. You got to make plans and figure out what to do with them. Just let them stay at home.
Yeah. Although their week off is between Tennessee and Vandy, so back-to-back home games at least. I mean, they've got a week off in October.
Yeah.
And I would rather them have that week and the week they get in February. Just, hey, how about throw that in August?
But even since there's back-to-back home games, like you really – there's not even an opportunity then to skip town at that point because, you know, you got to be here to support the team.
You got to support the team.
Yeah. For whatever support we really need against the likes of Tennessee and Vandy this fall.
Vol fan Rob says, glad the home team is back to bash my Vols.
There you go.
Well, we love you, Rob.
All right, time for the 5 at 5, brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution. And, Jeff, recruiting, what a haul this past weekend for Georgia.
So I got my game shirt on here.
Here, my question is, George, I mean, what are we planning on doing with all of these blue chip athletes? Where will they all transfer?
Well, what Georgia's doing is in the process, and this is what championship programs do, you stack up classes and you get kids in who want to compete and who aren't afraid to compete. And all of that, it leads to just having great seasons and a lot of fun Saturdays. And when you beat teams badly, like Georgia did in a lot of games last year, it's a lot more snaps for a lot more players. And great players want to play with other great players. And when you get elite kids that aren't afraid to come to a place where there's an extremely talented player who's still only, say, a sophomore playing your position, you're getting the right kind of player. You're getting the right kind of kid.
Of the three that committed this past weekend, I mean, Emery's a running back and Davis is a linebacker. What do you anticipate for Tung? I was watching videos of him where he was a receiver. He's a receiver and he's catching, making some ridiculous catches, but you know, he also strikes you as the kind of guy with his 6'2", 210 that might look pretty good at cornerback, too.
Yeah, I would think so. And, in fact, I'm trying to pull up a text that my buddy from New Orleans, who does radio and TV down there, and he announces some games. I'm trying to get a text that he sent me. But anyway, I they will probably maybe get a look at him at receiver. And I'm like you, secondary, maybe outside linebacker. He might be for that star position. I mean, his dad was a really good player. I remember Reggie Tung. He was a very good player.
I mean, just in next year's class alone, I mean, you got Jaden Hazelwood and Dominic Blaylock, so you've got two receivers there. I mean, the idea that, I mean, if, look, I mean, wherever Tung works, but which you've got, is that using the resource as well if you just have three guys that are, you know, legitimately good at that position, or would it be better to maybe take a look at Tung someplace else?
Yeah, you got the potential Demetrius Robertson as well. You know, is he going to play in 2019? You know, what kind of years Georgia going to have? What kind of years Mecole Hardman going to have? They'll take all that into the equation, and I would guess they would probably. Yeah, I'm sure this is a conversation they've had with him. Like, well, where would you prefer? Here's what we see. And, I mean, just look at Mecole. You know, he started at corner, moved over to offense and special teams, has been great. So my buddy Scott texted me last night. He said, I called Tung state championship. He's a flat-out athlete, stud. Dad was an NFLer. His team has at least 15 high D1s on it. And Emory School puts out huge prospects every year, too, including some dude named Ed Reed.
Oh, he went to Ed Reed's high school?
Emory did, apparently. That's what my buddy Scott said.
Wow, well, why don't they send those guys to LSU? What's going on there?
Well, here's the thing. I looked at Emory was rated in the top four players in Louisiana. Two of the top four committed to LSU, and another one's leaning heavily that way.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's not like they're striking out. But,
well, I mean, that's the thing with –
apparently Twitter, they were getting – I had people tell me they were getting Orgeron was getting crushed last night.
Well, I mean, the strongest argument for Ed Orgeron being the head coach at LSU is like, well, he can recruit. And that's what he's been, even when he's latched on with other, you know, as a defensive line coach, it's always been because of his recruiting prowess. So if he can't recruit, then there's no reason to have him be the head coach.
But now,
he's not good at that.
Now, I went through the 247 and the crystal ball things and all, and I looked to the top 11 in Louisiana. They either have commitments from or are, if you believe, you know, the crystal ball things, leading on 8 of the top 11 in the state. So what that tells me is if they're, you know, if somebody told me in a given year, and obviously, you know, it depends on who you miss. If we could average getting 8 of the top 11 in Georgia every year, I'll take that right now. You know, you'll take that for the rest of time. But the fact that they're still, and for most LSU fans, hey, you're going to get 8 of 11. But the fact that they, you know, Emory an elite back and they need a back and then to lose Tung too, the fact that it does look like they're recruiting pretty well, at least in state, and they're still going ballistic over two guys like that, that just tells me things are unsettled down there.
Well, I mean, with Tung, I guess this is special because that's like
– that high school is on
– it's on their
campus.
Yeah.
It is called like Southern Lab – Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
It is.
It's like we've joked before that they just make players in there. That's
they do.
Yeah, yeah, because it's University Lab, I think, is what it's called. So
I mean, they usually get at least two or three guys from there. I mean, it is, and they've got that LSU Unis. So that's their high school. They got LSU Unis as the JUCO for their baseball team,
right? And they got this place where they manufacture players, but this one kid, he's coming to Athens.
But I mean, and then to, you know, to get him with those NFL roots and to, I mean, to get a back like Emory. And then, I mean, Davis is, and I'll tell you something else. This is how just winning it goes into it. To get a linebacker like Davis, who is rated as one of the top 10 players in Florida. And again, with Nolan Smith, now he grew up in Georgia. I think he's from the Savannah area, but he's at that IMG, so some places rate him being from Georgia, some from Florida. But to get a linebacker like Davis, the things that go into – that's beating Florida 42-7 in Jacksonville. It's going to the playoff, doing everything Georgia did. And that's also the coaching changes at Florida and Florida State, and Georgia being able to capitalize on that.
Yeah, and I think just capitalizing, too, on the season that Georgia had last year.
Absolutely.
And, you know, got to have another one just like that this year.
Except maybe two more wins.
A couple more wins. I mean, honestly, what you don't want to do is just you don't want to have, like, this upset where you lose to somebody you're not supposed to, unless you win every other game besides that. Because to the point, I mean, Clemson has lost the last 2 years to Pitt and Syracuse, but they've won every other game.
And those are not Marino, Dorsett, Jim Brown, Dwight Freeney, Pitt, and Syracuse.
No. In fact, Syracuse failed to win another game after defeating Clemson last year.
Hey, man, they peaked. It's all right.
Yeah, I mean, their season was made.
We're done.
And the next week, they're, like, getting blown out by Wake Forest.
And that's the thing, too, with LSU. Like, that game down there, the stakes just got raised, by the way, too. With it, because it's rare that schools go in there and – or like you were saying, maybe it's – Texas A&M, but for Georgia to go into Louisiana and get two of their top players, especially a back like that.
Well, and then a guy from right there.
And so you get the best back and a guy, like you're saying, from the campus.
Who just looks like a freakishly good athlete, too.
Oh, so you said you saw him make like a one-hander.
There was a one-hander in the state championship game, and then there was one where it was just, you know, some all-star camp or something where – you know, the quarterback just threw this ball into – looked like there were, like, three guys covering him, and he just caught the ball and then got up and started, like – he was, like, hushing them or something.
The another thing that I noticed, too, is that – you're talking about Kirby getting bigger. 15 of the 16 commitments are 6'1 or taller. Emory's the exception. He's 5'11". 8 of the 16 are at least 6'3".
Yeah. At receiver, and then even I guess that's going to be the idea too at corner in the defensive backfield.
And then you look on the defensive line, like Logue is I think 6'5.5", Norton 6'6", Trayvon Walker 6'5".
Yeah.
Another thing I like about Trayvon Walker, by the way, I didn't realize this, like he's an elite basketball player.
Well, I like those guys that are –
because usually if it's hoops or wrestling, those guys have usually got just those quick twitch and just the good upper body movement.
Right. Well, yeah, and we know that the offensive line, there's a certain height and weight. Otherwise, you need not apply.
Yeah, correct.
Jeff, moving on in today's 5 at 5. Yesterday, Larry Wayne Jones Jr.
Congratulations.
Chipper went into the Hall of Fame, and he dressed up for it. I was very happy and proud of him for doing that. He wore a suit.
He didn't wear a skull cap and a sleeveless shirt.
No, he did dress up and wear a suit. Here's the question. Is that it for the Braves getting into the Hall of Fame?
So you've got Maddox, Glavin, and Smoltz in, and then Chipper. I think so.
Okay, because it doesn't look like Andrew's getting there.
No,
I mean, he barely won't. Got enough votes to stay on the ballot for another year after this past round of voting.
Yeah, I there is another Hall of Famer who played with him, Deion Sanders. He's in the football
He's
Hall
in a different
of
Hall of Fame,
right.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think this is probably it. And by the way, you made a very good case for Andrew. He should hire you. And, you know, when you start breaking down the numbers and then you do take into account that the guy is widely considered one of the greatest center fielders of all time.
Yeah, and I guess defensively. Like an argument for Andrew is that, yeah, he was nothing special offensively.
But he hit a lot of home runs.
Yeah, and he had one year where he hit like 51 and led the league. But basically, like the case for Andrew would be you'd have to believe he's like the greatest center fielder of all time. I'm like, well, okay, what if I do believe that?
He's
defensively center fielder.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about, you know, DiMaggio, Mantle, and Mays, I mean, he's...
I mean, why is Ozzie Smith in the Hall of Fame?
It's defense.
Yeah, because he did those flips.
Yeah, he was best shortstop ever.
Right, but I mean, as a hitter, what, he hit like 28 career homers? And
he hit one really big one.
He did hit a big one. And then, I mean, he was about a 260 hitter.
Yeah, he made himself into a much – when he first came up, he was just above the Mendoza line.
Yeah, but he's in because he was a defense.
Absolutely.
So.
I mean, that's in the two positions where you think about defense over offense. Now, you got to have them both. I get it. But you if you're making a baseball team, you got to find a shortstop and a center fielder and then somebody who can catch. That's where you're starting.
Yeah.
And you go from there.
Yeah, but he was only on 7.3% of ballots last year. So he's not getting in. And the next year you got one lock for sure, Rivera. And then
he should go in by himself.
Well, the other ones who have a shot would be Roy Halladay, Todd Helton, Andy Pettit. I'm just looking at the list of next year's first timers.
Those guys could all have a case.
Helton is going to have a hard time escaping his home road splits.
But the guy, he was a great hitter.
He was, but his home road splits are like...
Now, his average was strong in both places, but the homers...
Everything else is just like... It's pretty huge what he did at Coors Field versus what he did everywhere else. And he's going to have a hard time with that.
I still say to this day, he is the best baseball player that I have ever seen Georgia play against. When he was at Tennessee.
Yeah. To me, like, Andy Pettit is not a Hall of Famer, but his case is just going to be strong because he pitched for the Yankees for so long. But they had never won a Cy Young Award. I mean, never led the league in anything but wins one time.
He was a great pitcher, but, yeah, he was.
But I think the only reason, just he pitched for the Yankees.
I mean, I'd vote for him.
I mean, Halladay won two Cy Youngs.
Halliday's a contender.
Yeah. But, I mean, Rivera's like, that's the one guy who's 100% lock.
He's a no. You know, another guy who played for the Braves, who I think – to me, I don't think Fred McGriff should be punished. We've had this conversation before. If you look at his home run totals and stack them up against the pre-steroid home run totals, like we've always said the 80s is an interesting decade for baseball. But you put his home run totals up and compare them to the players from the 70s or 80s, they stack up against anybody this side of Reggie Jackson and Mike Schmidt. Am I right?
Yeah, well, he's one of those weird guys. You're telling me if he had hit seven more home runs, is he in the Hall of Fame?
He had 493?
Yeah. So, I mean, if he hit seven more home runs, he'd be in, right? As a 500 home run guy that, you know, doesn't have the steroid stuff around him because Sosa's not going in and, you know, Bonds is getting closer.
Bonds will eventually be in.
I just have to believe, like, he and common sense will prevail.
Well, the thing with he and Clemens, I mean, they were, even before they started, I mean, and we can, you can all kind of, you can look at, they were Hall of Famers well before that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And plus, I mean, you got a guy who's won, what, seven Cy Youngs and a guy who's won seven MVPs.
Right. And so some of these people who voted for them to win those awards now are like not voting for them to be in the Hall of Fame, which doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But
no,
whatever.
It does not.
All right, moving on to today's 5 at 5, Jeff. Yesterday, we heard of the death of Nikolai Volkov.
Oh, it's a crusher.
Who was a Soviet, although he really wasn't. I think he was born in Yugoslavia. But he was a Soviet who would sing the Soviet national anthem. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Volkov requests that you all rise.
And we all know the words.
Yes.
I swear to you, Chris, when I worked the Olympics in Sochi, I go, "Alo, Karaspadok," and a couple of, it's a long story, but it involves professional wrestling.
It has to do with a Yugoslavian who pretended to be a Russian. And, you know, Iron Sheik now was really Iranian, though.
Right.
But it was just, the deal was, that was a tag team that I'm pretty sure I wasn't supposed to love them, but I did.
Well, the great thing about that, man, it was brilliant by McMahon. You know, this is like 1985, 86, Cold War, East-West. You know, the Iranian hostage crisis was just in the rearview mirror, and you got this guy from Iran, and you got this Soviet, and they're the champs. And they were so easy to hate, but they were just kind of this Mount Rushmore of evil. And because of that, like, I didn't want just some chumps to beat them for the tag team.
I liked them. They were like one of my favorite tag teams. I loved Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik.
The Sheik loading up his boot with classy Freddie Blassie wearing those robes.
Yeah, they were great villains, and I'm guaranteed there's no tag team in the history of wrestling that took more heat in arenas than they did of the stuff that was probably thrown at them because there was
the era.
Yeah, during the Cold War, this guy would grab the microphone and start singing the Soviet national anthem.
And the Sheik, Iran number one, Russia number one.
USA, please spit. Right.
It was just it's fantastic.
So, on the subject of like something you weren't supposed to love but did, who are some teams / individuals in real sports that you liked but, you know, maybe you shouldn't have?
You know, well, for college, I've only had – it's just always been Georgia. You know, I was – and I know a lot of people loved him, and I did too, which I think says so much about the man. But there were also a lot of people who hated him. I was a Muhammad Ali fan. I loved Marvelous Marvin Hagler. And I like Sugar Ray, too, but it was like Hagler kind of, I guess, kind of had the, maybe a lot of people looked at him as a bit of a villain.
What about McEnroe?
I loved Mac.
Right, he was a bad boy.
He was a love-hate.
Yeah.
I did not like Connors.
Oh, I didn't like Connors either, and because of McEnroe, I hated Lindell.
Now, there's a
I think because of McEnroe, I also hated Connors.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that was the reason why.
I had told that to Coach McGill one time, and he said, well, you know, I like McEnroe, too. He goes, I thought Connor's stuff was contrived. I thought Johnny Mac was – it was natural. It was natural. And, you know, it's so funny. And, again, speaking of, like, the McEnroe-Lindell thing, that, you know, he's being from Czechoslovakia. We all know what Mac – hey, why does anybody like Lindell? Well, he's a bleep-bleep commie. And I could not stand Lindell. I mean, just Cold War, Reagan, just so much American pride. Then it's funny, like my tennis guys from Georgia, like Alan Miller and George Bezecny, if I say, we hit with Lindell. He's like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, and I mean, he's a U.S. citizen.
Yeah, he moved to Greenwich, Connecticut. Yeah. Everybody says he's just the nicest guy. But I did not like Lindell. But like my dad did not like McEnroe because he didn't approve of the
He was a brat.
Yes, yeah. But I loved him.
Me too. Yeah, and you probably weren't supposed to because the guy, he was a brat that threw temper tantrums, and
I loved McEnroe.
He was like the ugly American.
Out of the three powerful basketball teams, I loved Dr. J. So I felt like, you know, out of the Sixers, Lakers, and Celtics, that was who I liked. Now I could see like a team. I wasn't a fan of theirs. I'll give you a couple other teams, but teams I enjoyed watching play and I didn't like them. I liked watching the Motor City Bad Boys play. And as I think we all know how I feel about the Gators, those 06 and 07 Florida basketball teams were tremendously fun to watch.
Well, I'll give you one of Georgia's rival, but not in football. But
the Mark Price Tech team?
No. Lethal Weapon 3.
Oh, so that was Oliver, Scott, and Anderson.
Yeah.
They were tremendous. They're great teams.
I liked them, and I was also – I mean, I loved Bo Jackson when I was a kid. I mean, Bo Jackson is –
So did Georgia's head coach, Kirby Smart. He loved Bo.
Yeah, I mean, Bo was my favorite athlete.
It's a lot of people's favorite athlete.
And so Bo and Tech's Lethal Weapon 3, I did like those guys, but I didn't like them as much as I liked UNLV. So once they got to the Final Four, I was...
Well, you've got a little thing, though, with heels, because you like UNLV, LeBron.
I like Nikolai Volkoff and the Iron Sheik. Listen, so, yeah, I always root for the bad guys.
Well, here's the thing. Again, I just hated, especially in the WWF, because they didn't have a ton of titles. You had the world champion, which is pretty much Hulk. You had the intercontinental champ and the tag team champs. And the NWA had a bunch of belts. I love the TV
champions. Oh, well, I mean, Ric Flair was another one who I loved, and he was a heel.
Everybody loved the Nature Boy. Yeah. How could you not?
And the Four Horsemen.
But for – like, I didn't want just any randos to go out there and be the tag team champs. I mean, this was Volkoff and Sheik. Like, this was the – like, just put together, like, the two greatest Bond villains. I mean, this is Ernst Stavlo, Blofeld, and Oddjob put together.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't just some Joe Blow, you know, action hero. This is going to take – you know, 007 and maybe Indiana Jones both to defeat these guys. I mean, it would take a Herculean effort. I mean, they were the best of the bad. And again, the timing of it, just after the hostages,
and right in the midst of the Cold War.
And they, in what an event that is mostly a faces event, which is the good guys win, they beat Barry Windham and Mike Rotunda at the first WrestleMania to be the first team to actually win a championship at WrestleMania.
So that was at WrestleMania 1?
Yeah.
And they, and Rotunda and Windham came out to Born in the USA.
Yeah, they were like the American team.
Hearing that from wrestling, that honestly turned me on to Springsteen. I was like 11 or 12. I was like, oh, I like that song.
Yeah.
And so I went out and bought Born in the USA because of Rotunda and Windham.
Right. And they got beaten by Volkoff and Sheik. Dropped the titles. Jeff, finally, we'll wrap up the 5 at 5. A quick NFL question. Training camps have all started. I want you quickly to tell me the most likely of all the teams that won a division last year, which is the most likely to not return to the playoffs this year?
All right, New England's in. I think Pittsburgh's in.
You sure about New England?
Who wound up winning the South? Was it Tennessee?
Jacksonville, which I think you might have your answer.
Yeah, they're a lot. The West was Kansas City.
Yep. Philly, of course, Philly.
I think Philly's back in.
Minnesota.
I ain't Green Bay.
But, I mean, Minnesota could still get back to the playoffs. Yeah, this is to not even make the playoffs.
Yeah, Atlanta could certainly make the playoffs.
Well, Saints.
The Saints won the division.
Falcons finished third. Because
so
the Panthers and Saints tied.
Jeez.
You could say Carolina since they tied at 11-5.
Yeah, that'd be a good one.
And the Rams are the other one.
I could see the Rams missing. Although I like the Rams, but that's going to be a year one. So I'll say the team most unlikely. It's going to be hard for the Jags to follow that up with Blake Bortles. Then – my goodness, you know how often is Fournette going to get hit this year?
Yeah, I mean, the Jaguars by far have the worst quarterback of any team that won a division last year. And the Rams have Jared Goff, so I can't believe I just said by far.
And I'll tell you what, too, for Minnesota, that's a heck of an experiment to think they had Bridgewater and Bradford and they got hurt. Keenum has that year. They let all those guys go.
And now they have Cousins. I mean, Cousins put up stats in Washington.
He
just didn't, win a lot of games.
Yeah.
All right, that's the 5 at 5 brought to you by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, a solution.